have something unusual for evening service, but my testimony is that the Lord's made it kind of strong on my mind. So I hope He'll have mercy on me. It won't be out of order in the effort. I'm thinking about a message Brother Clevenger brought to us about choices. People make choices going through life. All of us are the consequence of the choices that we make. In this world, all that any of us really have that's entirely ours is a will. God won't override it, and He won't allow the devil to override it. But as we go through life, there is one thing more that we have, and that is the consequence of what we have done with our will. And that is abiding. Isn't it something? Time only goes one direction. Many a person has wished it could roll back time and redo a choice, but it's not possible. And we've had in this meeting explanation of death. We've had discussion about hell in the evening worship service. And talk about the 10 virgins and the consequence of the unwise decision. Tonight I propose to speak in a different direction, because not everyone has made bad choices. And try to encourage us, every one of us, to make some good choices with our lives. Amen. By speaking of what has been done by others who served and feared their Creator. I'm amazed at the scope and effectiveness of human accomplishment. It's astounding what humans have been able to do. When people were minded to build a tower to heaven, I don't suppose that even in that primitive age, anybody really thought that they could reach the moon by building a tower out of anything on the earth. Those wiser than I have said they were building to avoid another flood. But however that was, God said, we'd best come down and see what they're doing. Said, lest nothing would be restrained from them. And what He meant was that human mind and capability are so great, they could penetrate into the mysteries and accomplish great things. So He came and confounded the languages. But I would say in our world, that barrier has largely been overcome. And knowledge and wisdom are increasing in quantum leaps since the advent of the internet. People have access to reference materials that previous generations of authors, scientists, only could have dreamed of. You find out what people in Norway, people in Africa have studied and learned and applied it to our problems here. So that has a negative side, but my thoughts are not negative this evening. All of these things broaden any of our capabilities to achieve the fullest possible potentials that God has given us in life. And we have some giant footsteps of others who've gone before us in the holy way, the things they've accomplished. You and I have the capability to do more than we know. And the secret is to put our lives in the Lord's hands. All of us make choices as we go through life. We've been hearing in this meeting about the consequence of bad choices, and so we should. But tonight I'd like to talk about a man who made a good choice and followed through with it. The thought I had a few services ago was about the five foolish ladies who let the oil go out in their lamps. They weren't the only ones who were there. There were five wise. They kept the lamp burning. That tells me that it's possible for you and me, in the darkest of times, The lamp, the oil in my vessel does not depend on what's going on in the world around me. It depends on my contact with a source greater than this world. And the ones who thought to shut old Daniel down from his contact with God would be no more successful trying to put you or me in the lion's den than they were with him. The same God who delivered him will be there to bless and deliver us. Will you pray for us this evening? I want to talk about Luke. Scripture said, kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man that brought forth out of his treasure things old and new. What I have tonight is old. The Lord has given me this before. He's refreshed it in my mind again. It's been living to me all day long. So perhaps he'll bless it again this evening. You notice I didn't say the Apostle Luke. Matthew, Mark, and John. But Luke was not an apostle. In fact, we have no record from the Gospels, even from the early church fathers, where Luke ever preached a message. But he wrote two of the books that are in the Bible. And he was a remarkable man. Nobody knows what his origins were. If he was even Jewish, nobody knows. But there are some things that indicate that possibly he was not. For instance, Luke wrote, as you know, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. The book of Luke is different from the other books in some of the things that it emphasizes. I'll talk in a moment about some more concerning it, but I want to point this out. Isn't it interesting how the gospel is unique to every person? It's an individual salvation. When you take Matthew, Matthew's vocation in life before he met the Lord was to be a publican. That was a dishonorable craft. It was mostly made up of licensed thieves, if you could think of it that way. Their task was to be tax collectors. Their collecting was enforced by the mailed arm of the Roman law with a steel fist, but nobody regulated how much they collected. So most of them got rich by collecting more than they turned into the Roman government. Maybe Matthew did that too. When the Lord dealt with him, he felt convicted about what he had been doing with his life. Matthew got genuinely saved. He had a change in his life. He took a different course. And in process of time, Matthew wrote the first gospel that we have in the Holy Canon. It was not the first one that was written. Mark preceded it by date, but it's the first in the King James Version of the Bible. Matthew is referred to by other gospel writers by his name, Matthew. But Matthew never one time referred to himself by his name, Matthew. Every time he wrote Matthew, he wrote Matthew the publican. It was a shameful name. But he never forgot what the Lord had delivered him from. No matter that he had a name that many and many a Christian would love to have today, that he wrote one of the books of the Bible, no matter how acclaimed he may have been, no matter how effective his preaching may have been, he never forgot that he was Matthew the publican. That's what he was by himself. When the Lord got through with him, he was something different, but he never forgot that. Isn't it interesting how the gospel is different to different people? So that's what it was to him. In the case of Luke, really don't know where Luke came from. But Luke is the one who gave us a story of Zacchaeus. There is more in the book of Luke about people that you might say were on the fringes than there are in any of the other three Gospels. He gave us the story of Zacchaeus. He gave us the story of how Jesus was on his final journey to Jerusalem. Scripture said his face was set so much that the apostles were afraid of him. And they were trailing a distance behind him as he marched, could I say, on his journey, his final journey to Jerusalem, his final confrontation with scribes and the Pharisees. It is Luke who tells us of a blind man beside the way who called out to him, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Folks tried to stop him, and he cried the louder. He would not be stopped. There had to have been something in that that touched Luke. Because he was probably one of those who considered himself on the fringes himself. And so Zacchaeus, little man, climbed the sycamore tree. Best fruit that sycamore ever bore. And the Lord, walking by with the crowd all around him, his mind on the Pharisees, took time to notice the little man up in a tree. Biden come down, "Zacchaeus, I must abide with thee today." It was Luke who gave us a story. How can a man be born again? And Jesus said to be born into the kingdom. Luke told us about that. So the gospel is that way to you and me too. Brother Ostis used to express it this way. When the preacher is up preaching under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, would the Lord open our eyes to see it? The angels are in the building with us, taking the words from the mouth of the minister and distributing them individually to every one of us as we stand in need. And one person gets one thing out of the message and the next person gets something entirely different according to what their need is. Possibly none of that was in the minister's mind. It's God who does these things. Brother Ivan said this morning it's quite a weighty thing for a minister to presume to be the mouthpiece of God. Well, that is a very serious thing, but if the Lord sees fit to put his hand on it and the angels distribute from it, we all get an individual gospel, and it is possible for every one of us to go home refreshed in our souls from the very same meeting. So Luke, he got his special things. But there are things remarkable about Luke. Luke is referred to once in the scriptures as the physician, or the beloved physician. And the early church fathers said that he was a medical doctor. Several of them said that. Well, there have been questions about it, but I am personally of the opinion that it was true. Doctors then were trained differently than they are now. No doubt less was known about medicine than it is now, or about the human body. But it's astonishing what was known. In between us and Luke are the Dark Ages. There's a great deal of learning lost in the Dark Ages. But the archaeologists have uncovered medical instruments, surgical instruments in Rome and other places in the ancient world that astonished them because of their precision and because of the obvious surgical uses that were intended. There were specialists, eye doctors and ear doctors and stomach doctors, for instance. And we know that there were in the time of Rome, in the time of Luke. There were, I don't know what kind of a doctor he was or how extensive his training was, but undoubtedly he had enough medical training that he had a full license to go and carry out his practice as a physician. And so he did. And he met the Lord. I have wondered sometimes if learning affects a person's faith. Is it possible to learn so much that's hard for you to believe in God? Think so? Well, let's assume that Luke got his training before he met the Lord. So what do you do now? You just turn your back on it all, abandon it? How do you unlearn what you've learned about life? And Luke is different from anybody else in this way. In the things that he wrote, in the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And I've heard folks say, "I never feel the Lord directly deal with me." Well, if that is your testimony, first of all, there are some things you can do to get in a place where you can feel the Lord deal with you. They have to do with learning to recognize his voice. But secondly, there are others who've gone before you who had a distant relationship with God, but a different kind of relationship with God. Now, I am afraid to say that Luke was unspiritual because of his learning. I'm afraid to say that it was a handicap to him in any sense. But if you read the book of Luke and the book of Acts, you find places where Paul got a vision in a night of somebody coming, calling him to come and go with us. or Paul was commanded of the Holy Ghost to stay in a certain city for a period of time. Luke never says anything like that. It's hard to find a place where Luke says he got a leading from the Lord. Instead, what he said is, we, after Paul got his Macedonian call, we most assuredly gathering that the Lord wanted us to go to Macedonia. The Lord didn't show me to go to Macedonia, he said in my crude language. He showed Paul to go. He showed me, you go with him. If he goes to Macedonia, you go with him. If he goes to Baton Rouge, you go with him. If he goes to Hamburg, Germany, you go with him. Folks don't like to get that kind of call very much, do they? It's more dramatic to be the Paul. Paul's ministry wouldn't have been far less effective, I'll show you in a few moments, had he not had Luke to go along with him. The scripture said that the Lord set the members in the body as it pleased him. And he is subject to have some to whom he speaks forcefully and directly. A great light shining down about them from heaven causes blindness to come upon them. Hear a voice. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He's got the right to do that if he wants to. He's also got the right to put a longing in someone's heart to go with the people that he spoke to that way. And I am amazed. As I read these old stories, I am astonished at the sacrifices people were willing to make because of these things. I feel challenged. I feel, when I read this old Bible, I feel shallow and not very committed compared to what others have done who've gone before me. Luke was a practicing physician. Nobody knows for sure where he met the Lord. But something changed him. And he became a believer. And there is no record that he ever used his medical skills again after he started following in the footsteps of the Lord. Isn't that something? How many doctors have you known who would be willing upon salvation to just lay it all down? But he did. There have been men who did that. And here's a record of one of them. Lord, please help us this evening. And so Luke got his burden and call to go with the Apostle Paul. And Paul on missionary journeys. New religion. Isn't it an amazing thing? I have wondered what must have gone through Paul's mind. He was a human just like you and I are. He once was very opposed to Jesus of Nazareth. The conversion experience he got was so potent, so effective, that it caused him to leave everything and hazard all kinds of risks for something ephemeral, if I could use that. You know what ephemeral means? It means mystic. It means it's in the air. It means you can't see it. He didn't have Jesus there in front of him every day. God is like that. We can, at this moment, we can feel alienated from God. We can easily conclude that there is no, we can't see Him, you can't touch Him, you can't hear Him. Or you can reach beyond the five senses to another inner sense of the soul that's greater than these by the eye of faith. You can look beyond. And if you use the eye of faith, oh, there's great value in meetings of this sort. There's value in the songs. There's value in the preaching and the example. But there is a way, by the eye of faith, to look beyond every one of those and get in touch with God for our own selves individually. Powerful, weighty, transform us, transform this man so much that he gave up his career and his position as a Pharisee and became an advocate of the gospel and went into cities. How do you do that? Spin the dial, and this time it comes up to Greece, and the next time it comes up to some other place, and off you go. Don't know a soul that's over there. Don't know what kind of reception you're going to have. The only blurting that they had was to get down on their faces and call upon the name of the Lord. Lord, here am I. What do you want me to do? And the Spirit would say to them, you go here. And you follow the journeys that Paul made. If you'd map them out on a map, they looked like the wanderings of a madman. And you think nobody would choose a course like that. But the course that Paul followed resulted in The books, after the books of Acts being written, they resulted in congregations be established everywhere. I advise you folks, if you want to live a life of sin, you fall under the dangers of the messages that we've been hearing. But if you choose to live for the Lord, you will live a life that looks like the wanderings of a madman to the world. But it has at its end eternal life. And you'll have the Lord to go with you. And you have your times along the journey when people are saying, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians." When you see devils cast out. When you see the Philippian jailer come and say, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You'll have the Lord go with you and do things for you that lay beyond your power or capability in any sense to do for yourself. So Luke, what a powerful motivating force it must have been. We have no record that he ever met the Lord face to face. Except, maybe, there is a little question. After the Lord's crucifixion, Luke records this scene more vividly than any of the other three gospel writers. Walking along a journey, two people visiting on the Emmaus Road about the events that had just happened. And one came and walked with them. And he asked them, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Are you a stranger and don't know what has taken place?" And he answered, "What things?" And then he went on and expounded, and they couldn't see who it was. And it's just possible one of those whose hearts burned within him was old brother Luke. He didn't say it, but he was like Matthew. He was very careful in the way he described himself and says very little about himself. Isn't it possible? Maybe he was one of those who actually met the Lord face. Something might have motivated him. It was very powerful. Made him do the things that he did and so on. So he journeyed with Paul in the missionary journeys in which Paul was engaged for a number of years. And during that time, the Gospels were written. Mark and Matthew. Also, as you would expect, concerning a new religion, concerning the remarkable events that took place during the 3.5 years of Jesus' earthly ministry, many and many a story circulated about what it was. Some of them were accurate, many of them were wildly inaccurate. It's still possible to find some of those today. I have a book at home that has a description of how Jesus, when he was 6 years old, was playing with his companions, found a dead bird lying on the ground, healed the bird, and it flew away. There's nothing in the Bible about that. Somebody made that up. But there are people who have believed it. That sort of thing was happening. And Luke and those who were with him consulted together. Now, the Bible doesn't say this, but the early church fathers do. And they chose Luke. The trained mind. The man that I might look at and say, his education prevents him from being deep with God. Folks, you don't have anything that will prevent you from making right choices. And if you and I will put our lives in the Lord's hands, He will make something of them far beyond what we ever would have expected for ourselves. So they chose the man with a trained mind. He got a burden for it too, no doubt. It shows in his writings. But they collaborated with him and said to Luke, "This missionary work can go on without you. Go back to Jerusalem and research the story of Christ." So Luke wrote this in Luke 1:1. "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of these things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." Now we understand from this, most likely explanation is that Luke had a friend, probably another educated man, to whom he dedicated or directed this book of Luke, and as well the book of Acts. And this man, probably being educated, would have been a man of standing, and a man whose sanction would mean something. What we sanction means something, folks. And he said, as many have taken in hand. Mark's and Matthew's gospels were written. They weren't the only ones. There were others, as there always are. And so I'm saying to you, and I'll put this into my language quickly, seem good to us, to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee, most excellent Theophilus, said above it, and many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of these things, which are more surely believed, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. So while Luke was carrying on this, there were other men still being doctors. And there were other men still being thieves, instead of being converted like Matthew. And there were men who had become enemies of what Paul was doing. People make choices in life. All of us here in this room are making choices tonight. We can choose to be swallowed up in the events and affairs of this world. We can choose to give our lives to the Lord. If we do so, He has a life for us that will keep the supply of oil continually, freshly flowing down into our souls, that will keep our experience vivid and bright. So now, this trained man went back, having learned to think critically, if I may say that. He went back to the city of Jerusalem where Jesus had ministered and got around him the people who told the stories. And the evidence in the book of Luke is that almost certainly he spent some serious time with Jesus' own mother, because he has stories in his book that could only have been known by his mother. Almost certainly he befriended Mary and went to ask her. Other people are still being doctors. Other people are still making money and doing other kinds of things. But this man has given himself to God. I don't know how he found money enough to keep soul and body together during this time, but he did it. I surely am glad that he did. Because the early church fathers say Luke would not record anything as a story of Jesus unless it was established by at least two personal eyewitnesses, and they had to be people of high credibility before he recorded in the book of Luke. I have confidence in people who live like that. That carries weight with me. There's nothing in here that hasn't been carefully examined and has its sound reasons for being here in the Gospels. He turned his skill and his learning to something useful for the Lord. Whatever his feelings were, there's no use for him to say, Lord, give me powerful messages like Paul. Do you remember any of the messages that Paul preached? They're all dust. But the book of Luke is still standing today. If Luke had concentrated on preaching, we wouldn't have this gospel. And so, everything that he put in his book, he corroborated by at least two and usually more eyewitnesses. As you can imagine, after a number of years had gone by from the time of Jesus' earthly ministry, it was difficult to set in chronological order of events the things that Jesus did during his 3.5 years of ministry. Luke only makes a partial effort to do that. Rather, the events of Jesus' life in the book of Luke are put in categories, or classes, you might say, like a skilled man would do. He has to do with miracles, he has to do with messages, he has to do with dealing with the Pharisees. He puts them in categories without much regard to what place or what timeline that they were in Jesus' life. And he had the right to do that. And because he spent the time and took the effort and stopped what he was doing in his traveling ministry to go back and do that, he was able to say to Theophilus, whom I know not and probably never will in this world, he said, for as much as many have taken this in hand, we want you to know the certainty of those sayings wherein thou hast been instructed. Well, Theophilus is long off the scene, but I'm here and I need this instruction. I'm willing to take it at the hands of old brother Luke. Oh, and I recommend something to you too, folks. There have been saints of God who have walked this way before us. Their instruction is safe. It's a valuable guide to follow behind holy Christians who felt the blessing of the Lord. I don't know that Luke ever shouted in the aisles. There's no record that he did. But what he wrote has got great weight. You don't have to shout in the aisles to be a person of God. Now, Paul, he was a lively one. He probably did some shouting. Luke had the orders, you go where he goes. But he did that. And because he did that, we have one of the Gospels, and it has things in it that are not in any of the others. And we have these corroborating evidences in it. By comparison, Mark's might be called the action gospel. Mark focused on deeds, on events. Luke dug into the comparisons. And he gives us doctrine that we could not have had from any other means. But let's go on from there. Because it's not the only book that he wrote. And notice the book of Acts, if you will. It's been called the Acts of the Apostles. That's the proper title in the King James Version. But some have said it's really the fifth gospel. Four gospels of the deeds of Jesus, one gospel of the New Testament, of the Holy Spirit. Concerning the book of Acts, Luke wrote so. Acts 1 and 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. That is the story of the book of Luke. Now I'm writing you another one. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he had through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. There we are again, the man with a trained mind, examining these things. I hear people say, it's all just an old story. It's all just made up. I hear people say, I have no reason to believe. Well, I grant you, 20 centuries have passed since old Brother Luke walked this earth. But he was a man with a trained mind. He did the most that human capability can possibly do to give us a strongly buttressed answer to every one of those kind of things. He was not a hasty man. He was not a man who would just wildly take any story or claim that someone might bring. He examined things. He thought about things. Things had to be proven to him before he'd write them down and record them. I can only speak for myself, but I have chosen to believe that there is a God in heaven, that his ways are right. I hope to meet him in peace at the end of the journey. I've heard the consequences of making wrong choices. Hear a little while the consequence of making good choices. Luke made some good choices here. He gave the talents that he had into the hands of God. And as a consequence of that, he is able to say, former treatise I've written, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. And now I'm going on to give you some more infallible proofs. Following the book of Luke, we have 1 and 2 Corinthians and the other books, the writings of Paul and then of Peter and James and John that comprise the New Testament, the book of Jude. And if we did not have the book of Acts, we would have a very difficult time understanding what any of them mean. It is the book of Acts that tells us after Jesus was here and the Holy Ghost was given on the day of Pentecost, the profound effects of the change that it made. Listen to what these brethren did. They went out in a band. And Luke records this over and over. I wish we had had a book of Luke who followed Peter. Wouldn't it have been interesting? I wish we had a book, my own personal wish, I wish we had a Luke who'd followed Thomas. Thomas is considered the patron saint of India and supposed to have been martyred in the city of Madras. I wish that somebody had followed him and written down the things that he has done. Or I could say that this way. I value our spiritual ancestors who wrote the story of their lives when they got down toward the end of it. From light to darkness, or from darkness to light, I'm sorry, Brother Salmon's book. Lest we forget, Brother Murphy Allen's book. I value their experience. I knew those people. Their lives carried weight with me. I felt their tears and I heard their prayers. And they've gone on now and I believe they made it in with peace at the end of the journey. It gives me hope that if I follow in their footsteps, I too will be able to see their face once again, along with that of my Savior, with joy. There is a possibility. And so this Luke went with Paul and he recorded how the Holy Ghost worked with Paul. There is such a profound difference between the way Paul lived and the way Isaiah lived and the way Elijah lived. Elijah had to call when the children came out to him and said, "Go up, thou bald head." He cried and the bears came out and tore them, etc. This man, Paul, had people follow him, mocking him and making fun, and he turned and cast the devils out of them. What a powerful transformation. Do you see it? And had it not been for Luke, we wouldn't even know that that had happened. But it's there. And we understand things because it's there. It is Luke that makes the writings that Paul made vivid and real. We understand what happened when the Philippian jailer had Paul and the songs and the prayers were going on. It is Luke who told us about Peter lying chained between two soldiers. Luke was not there. Luke didn't feel the whip and he didn't have the chains around his hands. But did you know there's a place for you to serve God without being in the dramatic forefront? And it's weighty and it makes your life full. He didn't do it for praise, but no more did Paul. He did it to serve his master. So you and I. So we have a record because of Luke. Of Paul and Silas. Beaten. Lying in the jail. Singing songs. And praying unto God. Find me something like that in the Old Testament. This is the Holy Ghost. And at midnight. Something came down. And the jail got shaken and everybody got turned loose and the jailer came running in there. In the Old Testament, when that had happened, the guys who got delivered grabbed swords and started killing folks. In this Testament, when it happened, the jailer came running in about to kill himself and Paul said to him, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." And the jailer fell down and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul's not satisfied there. He got the jailer's whole household saved, went out and baptized them. When they came the next day to get him out of jail, turn him loose, send him on his way, Paul, being a man full of victory like he was, said, "Oh no, you beat us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. You come down here yourselves and you get us out in front of everybody." And we wouldn't know anything about that if it weren't for a man who didn't have the stripe on his back, as far as we know. But he recorded it. He recorded it. There's a place for you in God's kingdom, friend. God's got a work for you to do. It'll change your life. It'll make it rich and full. We can, if we choose to do so, we can become one of those who experience eternal death. But I trust we won't. We can, if we choose to do so, be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the Master's use. At whatever stage of life we may be, if we will put ourselves into His hands, He, from this stage forward, will begin to make of each one of us the best that can possibly be made. There is no fuller, no more satisfying life than to live for the Lord. The Scripture said concerning that life, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Now what He meant by that is, everything we humans do can be improved upon. But the plan that God had for your life is perfect. There is nothing we can do to make it improved upon. No adjustment we can make, only the giving more of ourselves. His plan is perfect. There's nothing to repent of for it. Oh, my friend, put your life in the Lord's hands. God's still looking for some Lukes. He's still looking for somebody who may not feel like Paul did, but who got the faith just as strong. Now, as I mentioned, that's 20 centuries ago. And old brother Luke's not here tonight. But where is he? Where is he? Do you think he's regretting that he stopped handing out pills and looking in people's ears? Do you think he's regretting that tonight? I think if old brother Luke could come back and say to us, he'd encourage every one of us to go right on to where he is. And I have this final message, my dear brethren. The same one that went with Paul, that went with Luke, he wants to go with you and me. And we can do this. We can go all the way from here to glory by the grace of God. He will stand with us. Thank you for the courtesy of your attention. Amen.